How do you show your gratitude to someone who's been really kind to you? Perhaps you send them a card, bunch of flowers maybe, bottle of wine, a gift card. But what would you give to someone who saved the life of someone you loved? Lazarus, who John reminds us, just in case we've forgotten, Jesus had raised from the dead, and his sisters, Martha and Mary, hold a dinner to honour Jesus. And then as the guests recline at the table and eat, Mary shows the depth of her love and gratitude for Jesus. She takes about a half litre of pure nard, and it's very expensive perfume, and she pours it all over Jesus' feet. And then she wipes it with her hair. And the house is filled with the fragrance. Now, I have no idea what the table etiquette was back in those days. Perhaps it was quite normal for a woman to kneel in front of the honoured guest and pour perfume all over his feet and wipe it with her hair, but I suspect not. One thing's for certain, isn't it? This was a very public display of humility, affection, love, and deep, deep gratitude to Jesus. But once again, not everyone is happy. Judas Iscariot this time, who John reminds us was later to betray Jesus, objects. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It's worth a year's wages. A year's wages just poured over the feet of Jesus. What's that? Average earnings today, £30,000. 2.5 litres or half a gallon of Chanel No. 5. If you can't picture that, imagine a milk bottle. You know, 2.2 litre milk bottle full of Chanel No. 5. Normally £160 for 100 mil. I looked it up. I've never bought it. Just in case you were wondering. £30,000 poured at Jesus' feet. Such was Mary's gratitude to Jesus for the life of her brother. Well, I mean, what value can you put on someone's life? But Judas thought it was a waste. It could have been sold, he points out, to provide a poor family with housing and shelter and food. Was that what Judas really wanted, though? No, says John. He didn't say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. And so Judas was imagining, you can sort of see the cogs whirring, can't you, in his head. If that money, £30,000, had been put into my bag, oh, 10%, 20%, no one would have noticed. £3,000, £6,000. What a contrast. Mary's devotion and gratitude and love for Jesus and Judas's lies, deception and greed. And Jesus comes to Mary's defense. Leave her alone. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Look, Judas, if you want to help the poor, feel free. You can spend the rest of your life giving all your money to the poor. You can set up a charity, run half marathons, do sponsored walks. There are plenty of empty shops. You can set up a charity shop. You'll always have the opportunity to serve the poor. But you won't always have me. None of you realizes this, but Mary has anticipated my death and my burial by anointing me. Mary, overwhelmed with gratitude to Jesus for bringing her Lazarus, her dear Lazarus, back to life. And yet he was only brought back to this life. He was only raised back to this mortal life. Lazarus would die a second time and his body would be laid in a tomb a second but final time. And yet Lazarus is alive today. He lives with the one who raised him then and will raise him again, this time not to die again, but to live a new, perfect, eternal life, a new Christ-like life forever. How do you feel about your own death? How do you feel about the prospect of standing in the court of Almighty God to hear his verdict upon your life? Which of us could survive the penetrating, all-seeing justice of God? Which of us could plead our innocence and claim eternal life? Now, in the face of death, we need some kind of hope outside of ourselves, because inside of ourselves we are hopeless. And we need hope because otherwise life becomes utterly pointless. If there is nothing after death, life is meaningless. Meaningless, says the teacher in the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless without hope. He goes on, I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my labor, and this was the reward for all my toil. Yet, when I surveyed all that my hands had done, and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. At the end of life, what have we really gained? And if this life is all there is, then it is meaningless, pointless, hopeless. But the truth is actually far worse, far more worrying, because God will judge us. And unless we are found to be faultless, sinless, entirely like Jesus, then there is no place for us in his perfect eternity. And death will bring condemnation. Do you see why Jesus is angry? No wonder Jesus weeps. But what if? What if, just as the lamb took the place of the firstborn and death passed over, what if Jesus were to take your place? What if Jesus himself would stand in front of the judgment seat of God, accept your sin, your failures, your faults as his own, and take upon himself the punishment you deserve? What if your death could fall on him and so pass over you? What if Jesus was to give you the guarantee of eternal life, of resurrection from the grave, of a new body and a new perfectly loving heart? Can you believe Jesus when he says, I am the resurrection and the life? The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. If you can truly, genuinely believe that, then you have been raised from the dead. So how then will you show your gratitude? Well, first, surely you're going to thank Jesus in words, aren't you? Spoken words in humble, personal prayer, sung words with the church family in praise and worship of our glorious Jesus. Oh yes, surely you will want to honour and praise Jesus with words. But I think you'd want to go further than that, wouldn't you? As the old hymn says, were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. So what might that look like in your own life? How will you express your love and devotion to Jesus in practice? You can't pour expensive perfume on his feet. But how about this from the Apostle Paul? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Judas Iscariot, you see, was conformed to the way of this world, wasn't he? Looking after himself, getting what he could, turning his back on Jesus. But Mary was transformed by the dawning realization that Jesus was the resurrection and the life, her resurrection, her life. And in seeing Lazarus raised from the dead, she'd seen something of the glory of God. She didn't fully understand the significance of her action. She didn't know that Jesus would become her Passover lamb. But we do. You do, don't you? And that's where we begin to be transformed. By watching, listening, as Jesus cries out in agony at Gethsemane, as he's arrested, as he's falsely accused and beaten, as he carries his cross, as he's condemned and crucified. And if you feel that your devotion, your love for Jesus is somewhat dim or distant, why not take time this Easter to go back and look again at the cross? Walk with Jesus. Slow down. Read the gospel accounts, and as you read, remember that he does that for you. And then respond. Respond in words spoken out loud. It makes a difference, you know, to actually voice your thanks to God. Perhaps that's why Jesus says, go into your room and shut the door when you pray. Tell Jesus how grateful you are that his love, so amazing, so divine, has been lavished upon you. And then, if words are not enough, and they're not, be imitators of God. Paul goes on. Be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Give yourself up as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. When you begin to appreciate the depth of Christ's love, and it must begin there, that he sacrificed himself on the altar of the cross to give you life now and life eternal, you will want to give your life to him and his people in love. And love is nothing if not practical. You have been loved today. You have been loved today by those who put out the chairs. You have been loved today by those who greeted you at the door and in the foyer. You've been loved today by those who put the PowerPoint together and played the music and read the Bible and led our prayers. You will be loved today by those who listen attentively to you over a cup of coffee made with love for you this morning. These simple acts of service in Christ's family are our fragrant offerings to God, and they are beautiful to him, however simple they are. But we can all be involved in that as our heartfelt response to love so amazing, so divine, that it demands our soul, our life, our all. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're sorry that so often our hearts are cold. Even when we hear again the story of Jesus walking bloodied and beaten to the cross, still we kind of take it or leave it. Forgive us, Heavenly Father, and help us to appreciate the magnitude of Christ's love for us and the significance of his sacrifice for us. That as we merely put our trust in him, he gives us the greatest gift of all: forgiveness, restoration, and eternal life with you. We thank you, Father. Help us to express our thanks better in words and in love. And may we be a church family that is built upon expressing our love for you to each other. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.